Kate, nice to talk to you. First of all, how are you? You're still playing at club level, but not intercounty. But it's tough in the lockdown, is it, for clubs as well as intercounty at the moment?
Well, yeah, definitely. I suppose, this time of year in any GAA club, any GAA setting, like, they're eager to get back on the field. New managements are put in place and people are only eager to get back into the fitness regime of the new year. So you can see, with the GAA lockdown now to mid-April, that people are anxious to get going and get started up. And obviously it's tough on clubs and that to put programs and get people out and about. So look at, I suppose everyone is in it together. Isn't that the line that they're saying? So I've no doubt that with Zoom and all the various online applications that clubs are going to use it, come up with some novel ways to start their pre-season training, and hopefully we'll get to see some games come the summer, Liam.
Absolutely. I primarily want to talk to you about, I suppose the inequality of the camogie and lady football player, two of the fastest growing sports, incidentally, in Europe, that when you see the money that the men are able to spend on hurling and football, and you're a nine-time All-Star, which are winning so much. Now that you have a players' union and you've joined the GPA, how did that come about, Kate?
To be honest, Liam, I suppose firstly, maybe you'd have to recognise that Camogie and ladies football have come on in great strides, and you would have to recognise that the women's teams are making great strides in and being recognised as players. I think they don't want to be recognised, oh, that's the women playing or that's the men. But when kids are growing up and when they're in the hurling field, people don't look at it like they're all players out there, whether it's a girl or a boy playing under 12 or under 14, they're all players, and they're not. Children don't see it any differently when they're down playing in the field, and I don't think there should be any disparity as they come up through the ages. And the first part of what you said, like, I'd have to say, even in the time from when I started playing intercounty to when I finished, and from when I finished to now, like, it's come on hugely for women and female players in camogie and ladies football. And you'd have to, firstly appreciate that we are moving in the right direction as a nation. People are putting their shoulders to the wheel to make that more fair and equal for girls, but I know it's a long way to go. So in terms of the GPA and the women's GPA, I suppose the women's GPA started up about 5 years ago, and I was part of a founding group to get involved. And really what we wanted to do was just maybe bring up the standard for women in sport and to make women really stand up and kind of push for the standards and the same standards that the men are getting, and to grow that for themselves, and that there's not that inequality there. And then it's evolved and it's grown over time, and this year there was an opportunity, and in fairness to the GPA, Paul Flynn leading it, and Maria over the women's GPA, they both came together and they've joined as one, which is a very, very progressive step for women in sport. Like, the opportunity is there now, Liam, that when I was playing county, and it's not that long ago, like 5 years ago, it's hard to believe it's 5 years now since I'm retired, but even in that short a step, like, the opportunity is there for women, like all the various outs, the well-being stuff, the, while some of the things are still a huge disparity, but there is a lot more opportunities for women.
Absolutely, because in your day, no travel expenses. I remember Anthony Masterson when they won the Junior Football All-Ireland. He used to help in and cook the food after training and that kind of thing. And it was great cracking that. But it shouldn't really have happened, should it, Kate? I mean, as you say, there are improvements and it's good to see. Will those improvements only come about if the associations join together and become one association, Kate? What are your views on that?
The longer they stay as different associations, like, you're always going to say, well, that's the women's association, that's the men's. And realistically, Liam, we're all the one, we're all playing the same sport. It's just women and men playing in their respective ages. So maybe that is an impediment to it becoming that they're just players. And the sooner they join up, the more that those inequalities will disappear. Like, when you look at even the use of pitches, like, intercounty camogie teams have to ask and pay for facilities, whereas intercounty men's teams don't. Like, little things like that that people don't really see are kind of impediments, are a disadvantage to women playing sport. And, like, we're a small nation. Like, you look at a GAA club, I'm as much involved with the Shemlier men's side as I am with the women's side and the ladies' football. So I don't see any difference when I say I'm going down to the club. I don't say, no, I'm going down to the Camogie club. Or so, like, why should it be any different for, you know, whether it's a woman playing or whether it's a man playing? They're all players. So the more we join and integrate together, the more I think that'll become more evened out, to be honest.
I know Dublin said during the week, Mick Bone, the Dublin ladies football manager, they spent between 150 and 180,000. That would be only in Wexford's wildest dreams for either Camogie or ladies football, Kate.
Definitely. I'd say if we spent that over the years that we won the All-Irelands, would have been a lot. Now, to be honest, I don't really know, Liam, but it is huge. And like, you can see that even, I suppose, the wealthier counties maybe do get that bit more. And you can see that in the Dublin footballers, the men's side as well. And like, I suppose, look at fair play to Dublin. They're able to pull the big sponsorship and they're able to spend that money. And obviously, there's knock-ons then to the players. The players are better looked after in terms of nutrition and maybe programs and, you know, physios and different things. And look, it's brilliant that Dublin ladies football are able to spend that much money. But you'd have to say they are top of the pile at the minute.
You had a long career, Kate, and you were lucky, but by and large women don't have a long career, do they? It's tough on them, you know, they end up perhaps maybe having children, so it's always going to be tougher for girls to succeed, and maybe in a man's world is the wrong way of putting it, but you know what I mean.
Definitely, I would say that the challenges facing women are a little bit different than men. Like, as you say, they probably don't get as long a career out of it. I look at the club team and all the years we've been playing, we've always had a key player or two every year. Like, you don't know what team you're going to have from one year to the next because, like, someone might be expecting or whatever. But that's just the nature of it. And, like, I suppose when that happens as well, I sometimes think that where a man would push on with their playing career or over teams, women will sometimes take that back seat and that, and, you know, look after the house side of things. But you can see that changing more and more as well, Liam, that I think it's an equal basis there too, and women are getting out more and starting to take a role. And you can see the women's Camogie and the ladies football are pushing more to try to get women at the helm and try to get them to take that step forward and be the manager or the coach on the various teams.
What would you like to see happening in the immediate future, Kate? Proper expenses for players travelling to training at inter-county level, proper meals after games. Is that the first aim?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that, you know, if players, and you have to think of the profile of a county team, like, you could have, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 you know, college students that are travelling maybe from Limerick, Cork, Dublin, they could be in Carlow. They're making that commitment 2 and 3 nights a week. They're probably doing a gym programme. They have to look after their nutrition. So you do have to look at the expense on them. So yeah, that they would be standards that you would be expecting to start creeping into at least our top elite teams, like our county teams. So you would be hoping that they'd be looked after as a first, and then let that trickle down into the rest of the team. Same with injuries, the same with, I suppose, gear. Like, I played county for Wexford for years and really didn't really get a Wexford jersey until we won in All-Ireland, which is hard to believe for people. They thought, you know, people asked you for jerseys after it, and, like, it wasn't that you didn't want to give them a jersey. If I had jerseys, I'd given it to everyone I had, but I only had one. So it was very hard to let go of that All-Ireland winning jersey, you know, so those are the things that people don't see and, you know, just expect sometimes that the women have all that. But those little steps are being made, and you can see those improvements, but there's always room for more, Liam. And there's definitely, that gap is definitely closing. Like, even on the promotional things that are run from the GPA and the women's GPA, like, all the camps or, you know, the rookie camps for new players coming through, it's as much aimed at the ladies players as it is at the men's players, which is brilliant. And that integration at that level will just seep down, because younger players will see and will start to see more female role models, which I think is important too, because maybe they were always looking up to the, you know, the male counterparts, county teams, and now you're seeing a lot more of the ladies up there being put up there as role models for our young girls, I suppose.
Because the girls train equally as hard as the men, you know, from winning four All-Irelands. Wexford's Camogie team were the most successful team in the county in the noughties, along with the Wexford FC. And the Wexford ladies won an All-Ireland junior football title. So you could say that the women dominated the previous 10 years, Kate.
Yeah, we had a great spell of it, Liam, to be fair. And we had a very unique bunch of players. And we were lucky enough to come through. Like, I'd always look back on it and say they were really golden years for Wexford Camogie. Like, we were extremely lucky. Like, you look at the players before us that should have and were as equally as good, but just didn't get over the line, you know, in the early 90s. The Stellas of this world, the Fiona Duns, the, you know, Deirdre Harns, all those players that played in the three All-Irelands in the early 90s, like that could have been us. They didn't get over the line, whereas we did. And, you know, it's down to just being part of just such a unique bunch of players, and we got over the line.
Can Wexford come again, Kate, just switching away to the playing side for a moment?
Well, you'd like to think they will. Like, I always, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of person. And I believe if the girls put their shoulders to the wheel, there's no reason why we can't. Like, we've competed at club level outside the county, getting to a club All-Ireland not that long ago. The Martins are in it. I'm sure, should the club championship go ahead from this year, that Owlard would really compete outside the county. And then when you transpire that back to Wexford, like, the club championship is hugely competitive. So I'd like to think that our players are good enough. It's just to get the belief and get the groundwork done. But like you said, with women's teams, I suppose we're at a transitional period at the minute. They're rebuilding. It's a very young team. So I'd like to think in the next couple of years that we will be back up there in the semi-finals and hopefully finals and competing for the honours again. I hope it's not as long as the 30-odd years it was from when we won back to the 70s to the team before us. I hope it doesn't take us as long by any length. But yeah, I would like to think we are thereabouts, Liam.
Yeah, let's hope so. But finally, Kate, you'd be happy that there is progress being made from the Ladies Gaelic Players Association.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I wouldn't be one to be knocking anyone for not, like, it's little steps. It's the little steps in every club that it's what's going to make this, you know, close the gap. It's not all at the top. It's at every club. Every club should be looking at after the girls' teams as much as the boys' teams. And, you know, they're all players, regardless of whether it's girls or boys. So it really does start with the grassroots and works its way all the way up. And it is working its way from the top down as well. So I'd like to think if we make as much progress in the next 5 years as has been made in the last 5 years, those disparities will disappear, Liam, and it'll be a great place for our girls to be, you know, involved at every level of the association.
Lovely to catch up with you, Kate. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Liam.